Bless you. All right. So, guys, I'm going to get right into my sermon this morning. So I already had, it's funny, I was talking to Pastor Al this week, like I always do, but I've actually written about four sermons this week. I wrote this one this morning. There was already one done. And here we go. So I hope this is the right one. It is, but you know what I mean. It's the Word of God, so it can't be the wrong one, right? Right? Something that the Lord has been, I think we could all agree that we really sense the Lord is stirring our church. Yeah? Was it two Sundays ago we had this ministry time up here? Wendy, right? Yeah. So there's some pretty powerful ministry time up here a couple of Sundays ago. And I talked with a couple of the people that were involved in that, and I just said, just tell me what happened. And they go, I don't really know. And I said, that's perfect. That is perfect, right? That is exactly what should be happening. Amen. All I know is that God showed up, and I'm better now than I was before I got, right? Right? One of the ladies that was up here, when it kind of all settled down, all they said was, wow. All right. And so, interesting, church, because I feel like the Lord this week, one of the things I was wrestling with this sermon in Word of God, because the Lord, I felt like the Lord said to me, I want you to start talking about revival. And I'm going to be really honest with y'all. For like 10 or 12 years, Kaz, you look tested this, right, bro? For 10 or 12 years, I really didn't like that word. And I didn't like it because primarily what we've done with it in the church, right? We have abused that word. We've called things revivals that are not. We have manipulated people with it. And on top of that, because I'm a teacher, right, there's actually the word revival is not actually in the Bible anywhere. So we talk about revival, 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 and it's like, okay, well, that's fine. It's not really in the Bible, but there's concepts of it in the Bible. Amen. So whether we want to call it a revival or an awakening or a fresh outpouring of the Lord, whatever it is, church, I really felt strongly this week the Lord said to me that he's the son, you're so close. And it's not just River Valley. There's a lot of churches that are not bowing down to the culture, that are not giving in to all this stuff going on out there, that we're standing strong on the Word of God. We're standing strong in prayer. Amen. And so we're going to spend a few weeks in this at least, and just bear with me, all right? Because there's things that need to happen for real revival to come. Amen? So if revival was based simply on really good music, we'd be living in revival all the time, because there's some really good music coming out of the church today, amen? Right? Variety means to go to some Hispanic churches and the music is ridiculous, right? Like, I couldn't play on the worship team in a Spanish church, man, because I'm like, I don't even know what y'all are doing, all right? Sounds good, but I don't even know where you guys are going. They play some chords I didn't even know existed in there, amen? If it was really, really good teaching, man, we'd be living in revival, because there's some amazing teaching out there today. Can I get amen, right? If it was all about programs and some great programs and that was what God was looking for, church, we'd be living in revival right now, because there are some churches with some amazing programs serving their communities and everything else. Can I get amen? That's not revival. It's good, and I think it's fine. The Lord is all right with it, but that's not revival. Amen. In church, I've had experiences. Probably some of us can say that we've had experiences. I've had experiences with the Lord where it's like, I don't even know what to do now. Right? Like, face down in the carpet, like, I might die. Like, literally. The presence of God is so powerful and so strong. I mean, listen, what does the Bible say? What? No man can see my face and live. Right? Come on, just raise your hands. How many of you have been in this type of, it could have been just in your prayer closet, right? All by yourself. It doesn't have to happen at church, right? Where you're just like, yo. Amen. And you know what? I had one person tell me at that time, the most powerful one I had was a long time ago now, but I had one guy tell me, oh man, will you experience things with the Lord that most people probably won't? And you know what? I just, right there, I said, I do not receive that. That is no way, man. I will not receive that kind of garbage. Amen? So what I want to talk about, church, a little bit, probably not today, but we'll see how it goes. I want to say it like this, how to position ourselves properly before the Lord. Right? Our culture right now, the church culture is not, in certain ways, is not very good right now. Can I get amen? We are bowing, a lot of churches bowing down to pressure from the culture. All right? It is shocking. You don't have to look real far to find churches that are embracing things that are clearly forbidden in the Bible. Clearly. I'm not talking about Old Testament stuff. I'm talking about New Testament teaching. The stuff that's going on in the church today, it's like, and we just think, and here's what they say. This is the saying, church. And here's, I am so far off my notes already. Just hang on, all right? But this is what and it's a deception. This is what I'm saying. Please, I'm not angry at all. Just so hear my heart, man. I'm concerned. You understand? Almost like I'm looking at the church as one of my kids that's heading into the weeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, whoa, what are we doing here? Can I get amen, right? Whether it's sexual things, relationships that are not appropriate, or there's lots of stuff. Can I get amen? This is what people are saying now. I can do blank, fill in the blank, whatever it is, and God still loves me. All right, see, the problem with that is that statement is 100% true. It is 100% true, right? It doesn't matter what you do, God loves you, right? God loves mankind. Can I get amen, right? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall be saved, right? He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to salvation. Can I get amen, right? So to sit there and say, I can do whatever I want and God still loves me, that's true. But the thing is, if you read your Bible, what God's love has done is made a way for me to escape the stuff that I want to do. Right? God's love is not permission for me to do whatever I want. It's not permission for me to listen to my flesh and just go, well, if God loves me, doesn't he want me to be happy? No. No, he doesn't. There's not a scripture in the Bible, church, that says God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. Right? Because, church, happiness is fleeting. Can I get amen? Who was happy when you came here? You can raise your hands. It's all right, right? Praise God. That's not a trick question, right? Who was happy when you got up this morning and then somebody cut you off in traffic and you weren't happy anymore? Can I get amen? Right? Or we come to church, we're happy, and then they sing a song and we're like, oh, we're singing that song again. Come on, man. How many times are we going to sing the same song over and over and over again, right? Come on, right? Church, happiness is, it can boom, in and out, right? I mean, you can be happy one second and mad the next second. Can I get amen? God ain't interested in you being happy. He's interested in us being like him. Can I get amen? So this is what we're going to look at for a few weeks. How do we position ourselves, right? Yeah? We're not talking about that today anymore. Praise God. So what we are gonna in a general sense, church, is I'm talking about real bona fide revival, right? Heaven invading earth, kingdom here and now, earth as it is in heaven, radical transformation, not through years of teaching and counsel, amen, but supernatural transformation through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? I'm talking about you walk into your prayer closet, you walk into church one Sunday, it doesn't matter where you are, can I get amen? Right? You just have an encounter with God and you wake up and you could not go back if you wanted to. Yeah? That's what I'm talking about. Church can't produce that, man. There's not a song written that can do that, right? There's not a worship team on the planet that can produce that. That is from straight from heaven, right? You understand what I'm saying? Ezekiel 37, turn in your Bibles. We're going to going to do a little bit of teaching and probably some shouting and preaching a little bit. I don't know what's going to go on, but this is a familiar passage for most of us that have been around, but I really feel it's very important that we catch something. Y'all there? Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of, everybody say it, bones, right? He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were, say it with me, church, very dry, right? He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet. Say this with me, church, what? An exceedingly great army. All right, so let me pause here just for a moment. We're going to read a little bit further. Here's the question, all right? Was there literally a valley with bones all over the place? No. You hear folks preach about this. We sing songs about it. Church, it's a metaphor. It's a vision. Do you understand? It's because if you just preach this straight up and sing songs about it straight up, it's like it gets weird. You understand what I'm saying? Like we try to picture this, what this looked like in our heads, and we go, oh man, these bones are coming together. You know, like what, there's a rattling and like, you know, just weird looking, right? There's like skeletons and they're dancing like, you know, like flash mob dancing or something. I don't know what they're doing. Can I get amen, right? I mean, it's weird stuff, you know? But look at, if we keep reading, here's what my Bible says. It's subtitled in my Bible, The Vision Explained. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones, everybody say these bones, are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, who says it? They, the house of Israel, right? They say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. Right? Still sounds kind of spooky, right? Verse 14, I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. And I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. All right, we're going to teach a little bit. You ready? So we're going to teach this thing starting at the end of it. Amen. What does he say? What's the promise in verse 14? I will put my spirit within you, and you will what? Come to life. You come to life, right? And I will place you on your own land. Church, look at this prophecy is specifically referring to Pentecost. Right? Old Testament folks could not have the Holy Spirit living in them because they were not clean. Right? Folks could not have the Holy Ghost in them until after Jesus bled on the cross. His blood is what cleanses us, right? Do you understand? In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God could rest on folks, but was not indwelling anybody, right? That's why David, when he sins with Bathsheba, he says, don't take your spirit from me, right? Because the Holy Spirit's not in him, just on him. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit, not indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? Yeah? So we don't ever have to pray that prayer from David, right? Because the Holy Spirit's in us. That's just it, right? We got to be careful we don't grieve him and don't quench him and don't offend him, right? But he ain't going to just leave. Not this one, right? Is that good? So if we understand that he's talking about Pentecost, right, then what is the phrase, the whole house of Israel? He ain't talking about the physical nation of Israel, church, right? Because the Holy Spirit didn't just fill Jews at Pentecost, right? He filled anybody. He filled the folks that were waiting in the upper room. All kinds of folks were waiting up there, right? When they come out of the upper room and they start talking, preaching to everybody, and speaking in tongues, right? They're speaking in tongues right there. They're not going da-da-da-da-ba-sha-da-da-ba Sunday. They're supernaturally given the ability to speak all these different dialects because it was a Jewish feast. There was people traveled from all over, all spoke different languages. These guys come up out of the upper room. None of them can speak these languages. And then the Holy Spirit just goes, boom! Now you can fluently speak all these various languages and preach the gospel. Some of you are looking at me like, what? Right. Church, we are living in that dispensation. There's not a different Holy Spirit right now on earth than was then. Can I get amen? Right? I knew a preacher. I didn't personally know him, but there's a preacher. He was out in Manchester, real powerful guy while he was alive. And there's a book written about him, and he actually experienced that. He pulled over to help some folks with a broke down car. They were, I think it was Japanese or something. Didn't speak English. So he just prays, and he just starts speaking Japanese. Boom! Like, and then they left, and that was it. He couldn't speak Japanese anymore. He had no idea what he was saying. He was just letting it rip and communicating with these people in Japanese, right? Is that amazing? Right? So if we understand this, right, if the whole house of Israel is the church, here's where it gets really important. What is the church saying about itself? Look at it, church. What is the church saying? We are what? Bones are dry. What's gone? Our hope has perished. And we're completely cut off. All right, we're to get real. How many of you have ever felt hopeless? Right? Stand on my head and put my legs up. Man. You know what's plaguing the church right now in America? Is hopelessness. I'm not even going to talk about what's going on in some of the headlines right now. You don't got to dig real far to find out. Church, I'm telling you what. Just shelf for just a moment. Please just listen to me this morning. Shelf all the cool miracles that we want to see, right? Like laying hands on folks in a wheelchair and they jump out. Hey, look, and they start dancing around. Man, praise God, we've seen it in this church, right? Not necessarily wheelchairs, but you know what I'm saying. We have, this year, we've had testimonies of bona fide miracles. Little girl had cancer in her bone, went in to get the cancer removed, the tumor's gone. There's a spot in the bone where the tumor was, but the doctor says this tumor's gone. Tested her blood, everything. They said, we don't know what happened, the tumor's gone, right? We have pictures of it, x-rays, where you see the tumor in her ankle bone, and then an x-ray where you can see where the tumor was, and it's gone. Right? You know that Jesus has scars. When he comes back, he's going to have some scars. Right? To me, I think having a little hole in your bone where there was a tumor is saying, it was there and now it's not, just so you remember. Right? Isn't that good, church? So forget all this stuff just for a minute. Bear with me, all right? What we need is hope. Right? We as Christians, church, think about this, man. Just hang on with me, right? We should be living such a starkly different life than people that don't know Jesus. And I'm not talking about weird religious stuff, man, all right? We all been around those folks, right? I got saved in a church like that, man. Good folks, but that's what they believed. You got to dress a certain way and, you know, couldn't do certain things or whatever. You know, don't go to the movies because demons live there. I mean, weird stuff like that, right? I ain't talking about that stuff. I'm talking about something that's going on in here. Something that's going on in here where there is like, I'm just like, boom. Like we heard these two ladies up here going, somebody hacked my bank account and stole $1,000. And they were like, praise God. Okay. So one of two things is going on. Either you got a screw loose or you know something that most people don't. Okay. It's one of the two. And I, quite honestly, I think we got to get to a place where if people think we got a screw loose, that's all right. Can I get amen, right? Fine. You'll figure it out someday, bro. You'll catch up, all right? Right? I remember talking to my mom years ago, man. My mom comes here now. She got saved. She loves the Lord. But years ago, she was saved but just didn't know anything, right? And I remember, I have no idea what we were talking about church, but I remember this the other day, clear as like I was watching it, right? We're sitting on my deck. She comes in. She's upset about something, and she's telling me all about it. And I just started saying, Mom, look, this is what the Lord's going to do. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And this is what's going to happen. And then this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I'm just talking. Like, I don't feel nothing. I don't feel like anointed, like, oh, you know, nothing. I'm just like, look, here's how it is, you know? And she stops, and she looks at me, and she goes, how do you know that? How, like she starts crying. How do you know that? I was like, I don't know. I just do. Because I know the Lord. And I want to know him more. Amen, church. Look it. We've all been through times that we feel like God is nowhere to be found. We feel like we're in a desert, dried up, broke down, nothing's working, prayers aren't being answered, worship is just an act, right? We're trying. We got our eyes closed real tight, right? And we got our hands all the way out. We've even got our fingers spread as far as they can go, and we're shouting at the top of our lungs, just trying to feel something. Come on, church, isn't that true? Been there, got the t-shirt. The problem is I'm actually up here trying to lead you somewhere. Man, there's so many times I've been up there, church, and just going, man, I don't even want to be here right now. As I'm singing songs to the Lord, oh, you're so worthy, I don't want to be here. Pastor Al back there, he's got his eyes up. He's like, yeah, I preached a few of those sermons, like preaching and going at the same time. I just want to go home. What time's the Pats game at? You know? Is that right, church? But look, what does the Lord say in this prophecy? The hope, there's two things that are going on, right? Their hope is gone. The bones are dry, but that's a result. It's a result of the two things that are wrong. Our hope is gone and we have been cut off. Where is God? Where is God? That's the issue. And you know what we're doing in America? And I'm telling you what, God is going to fix it. And he ain't trying to hurt folks. I'm telling you, there's going to be a move. There's a move coming, church. What we've done in America is we've lost the presence of God and we've tried to cover it up with great music and lights and smoke machines and programs and all this kind of stuff, man. Church, please hear me. I'm brokenhearted about this, right? I'm not angry, right? But God's saying, I'm coming. I'm coming. Get your eyes back on the right thing, right? Get your eyes. I said, Father, you know, church, I'll be honest with you, man. I wanted to preach something real mean and nasty about this stuff that's going on out there. And this week, the Holy Spirit just pulled the choke chain on me, you know, like those little dogs, you know, one of those, man. And he says, son, look, if what goes on in you, when you gather with your people, what goes on, if that's really my presence, all that stuff that you're getting upset about, none of that stuff can stand up. If all we're doing is just trying to pump it up in religion, well, religion can't do nothing, right? But if we're genuinely turning our hearts to the Father, crying out, right? His presence, man. the real stuff. Yeah? What happens? And you just think about this. We've again, I think we could all raise our hands and say here, what does he say to these people? The house of Israel, they're alive. There's a heartbeat, right? If you put the pulse on their wrist, there's something. There's blood pumping through their veins. But God says, you're dead. You're dead men walking. You're just going through the motions. Right? There's no life in there. You see it? But he's not talking to Old Testament Israel. He's looking to the future at the condition of the church. Right? Where's the real life? Boom! You know, where I come alive. I'm like, whoa. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Overflowing life. Church, we've got to get our eyes off of why won't God fix this problem in my life? Dude, read the Bible about the Paul, Peter. Read what their life looked like. Their life was a wreck. Man, they are getting beat up. Come on, church. Paul, one city, he goes in, he preaches the gospel, they drag about outside the city, and they throw stones at this guy, right? I'm not talking about little pebbles. They're picking up stones like the size of a softball and just throwing stones at this guy until they're like, he's got to be dead. The Bible says he gets up the next day and goes back into the same city and keeps on preaching. I'll say the same thing I said about our dear sister a few minutes ago. Either Paul's got a screw loose or he knows something that everybody else doesn't know. Come on, church. I've said it before, but come on. If we did that, we talk about Jesus one time at church or one time at work or we just at Starbucks or something and somebody looks at us funny. We run for the hills, man. Tuck our tail between our legs and take off. Peter, I was thinking about Peter the other day. Peter gets prophesied over. He says, here's how you're going to die. Peter's not like, oh, that's not fair. That's it. I'm done with this stuff. There's something going on in here. All right, Peter goes, okay, if that's how it's going to go, then I'm going to give God everything I got until that day. Right? We are blown around, church, by circumstances and stuff that doesn't go the way we want it to go. People don't treat us the way we want them to. Things don't work out. We don't get that raise at work. We don't get this. We don't get that. We get so bent out of shape about stuff so stinking fast in American church. We need to start growing up and get some maturity back in the church. Can I get amen? Because the thing is, the reason we're doing that is because there's nothing going on in here. We're dead men walking. Okay. Is this good? A revival, as far as I can tell in Scripture, and let me just interject something right here. It's not in my notes. It was in one of my other sermons I already wrote this week. but as I was thinking about this, the Lord's really put on my heart, and he says, son, I don't want you looking backwards at what was. How many times have we all done that? Right? Either we look back and think, okay, what was wrong with that? Or we look back and say, man, that was so good, let's try to get it back. Right? Do you know that the Bible addresses both of those mindsets? Jesus says anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Right? Master, I'll follow you. Let me go say goodbye to some folks. That's what precedes that verse. Let me just go. I'm going to follow you, Master, but let me go say goodbye to some people that I really care about. He says, you put your hand to the plow and look back. You're not fit. I just want to say goodbye to somebody, man, for real. What? But you know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw there's something in your heart. You're not ready. You're not ready to really follow me. You see what I'm saying, church? It's obviously, Jesus isn't saying don't be nice to folks. Don't say goodbye to people. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there's something, you still got something really pulling your heart backwards. You can't follow me if you got these kind of soul ties in your life. Yeah. In Isaiah, it's like 46 or something like that. There's this whole recap of God delivering Israel from Egypt. You know, he talks about all these amazing things that happened, the pillar of fire and smoke, and they walk through the Red Sea, and the Stop and Shop chickens from heaven, and Toaster Strudels in the morning. They come through the, you know, they cross the Jordan. All these things happen. But you know what God says? He gets through this whole recap, and then the Lord says, through Isaiah the prophet, he says, forget all that stuff. I'm about to do a new thing. Will you not recognize it? Right? So honestly, I really feel strongly the Lord's saying, I don't want you going to reading books about Toronto Blessing or Pensacola or all these things. He says, just listen to what I'm telling you needs to happen. Right? Just do what I'm telling you to do right now. Forget what happened in the past. Amen, church? So, as far as I can tell in Scripture, one of the things that needs to happen for a real revival, what a real revival would look like, should be or begin with something like a massive impact on the inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for example, we all know this scripture, right? If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will do what? I will hear you from heaven. I will come and I'll heal your land, right? I skipped one phrase in there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But think about what he's saying, right? What if my people are called by my name? So there's already an identity there. You're called by my name. You're my people, right? There's God's not saying, I don't know you. He says, I know who you are, but you've wandered away from me. You're doing something on your own. You're doing whatever you want to do, right? He says, but if you will humble yourself and come back to me, repent, right? Turn from your wickedness. Stop sinning. Stop living however you want to live. Stop doing your own thing. Then I'll hear you. It's an abomination, church, to sit here and say, I'm going to do blank, again, fill in the blank, because Jesus loves me. That is a slap in God's face. It is offensive to him. Pastor, you're saying I can offend God? That's exactly what I'm saying. It is, man, it's not good. Can I get amen? Church, I've been there. I've offended God. And anybody in this room that says they've never offended God, you're lying. Right? This has come out a little heavy. Amen. Just hang on. It'll get a little better. Right? Come on, man. We've got to be real with the Lord. Right? Ezekiel's prophecy says that these people are dead. The church is dead because their bones are dry, their hope is perished, and they're cut off. They're dead because of this. Right? If this is why the church is dead, then it seems that these three things are what needs to get fixed for the church to come back to life. You ever thought about it? I've never thought about it. I've read this thing 100 times, man. I've never thought about it like that. If the reason that they're dead is our bones are dry, our hope is gone, and we're cut off, if that's the reason they're dead, then God says, I'm going to breathe my spirit in you, and what's the Holy Spirit going to fix? I'm going to repair the relationship. I'm going to put some hope in you, and I'm going to fix this dryness in your life. Can I get amen, church? You know, we say, oh, Pastor, I'm just in a wilderness season. I feel like I'm in a wilderness. Okay, cool. Well, you know, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. By the Holy Spirit, church. Oh, the Holy Spirit will never lead me into something that's hard. Oh, my goodness, that's all he's going to lead you into. He's called the comforter because he's going to take you places you need some comfort, right? You know, we want to be comforted while we're laying in bed. Oh, just comfort me, Lord. You know, we're sitting on the couch popping grapes in our mouth. Pop, 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 praise God, you know. Now he's like, look, I'm going to put you in positions where you need me. You need me to show up. You need my presence. You need a touch. You need a word. You know you can't do it on your own. Lord, I can't do this. He says, good. We're figuring it out. Right? guys, I know how to do church, man. I've been around this thing for 20 years. I know how to put a pretty good sermon together, bless you. I know how to, I'm not a great singer, but I know how to play guitar a little bit. I can put some songs together. This one fits with that one. These lyrics match pretty good, Ted. Perfect, right? I can put it together. I know how to do it. But you know what? I've got to realize that what I know how to do does not move the heart of God for one moment. Not for one moment. It's got to be. Because you know what? As a father, you know what moves my heart? When my kids run to me. Daddy. Right? Pick me up. I'm like, again? Come on. But you know what? God will never say again. He'll never say that to us. Every time, Lord, help me. Okay, I'm coming. I love that song. I called, you answered. Came to my rescue, man. I love it. I could sing that. Man, when I'm in my car driving around, I put that song on repeat. There's one guy that sings it, and all he sings is that chorus. Oh, he sings it for like 6 minutes, and I just put it on repeat. Every single day, man. I'm a mess. It's a mess. Amen. Look, do you hear what I'm saying? Romans 15:13 says this. Turn there, guys. I want you to underline this one, circle it, highlight it, cut it out of your Bible, and stick it on your forehead. All right. But copy it backwards so when you look in the mirror, you can read it. All there? Romans 15:13. Just one verse. So good. Y'all there? Now, let's read it. Let's read it all together. Is it up on the screen? Let's read it just out loud all together, everybody. Look what this says. Now, may the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. You know according to this verse, just one verse right here, right? According to this, the only reason that we can feel, everybody say feel hopeless, right? I'm not saying that you're not going to be in a hopeless situation. That might be exactly where God puts you. Can I get an amen from, I got and a head nod over here, right? God may put you exactly in a situation where it is hopeless to show you that what's in you is stronger than that hopeless situation. The only way that we can feel hopeless, church, is that we have lost touch with the Spirit of God in here. The only way I can be in a dry situation, but the only way that I feel dry on the inside is that I've lost touch with the Spirit of God. Because Jesus says, out of your innermost beings will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You know, we read like Old Testament, prophecies about, the Lord's going to make a river in a dry place and all that. You know what I realized just the other day? He says, right, you're the river. We're looking for a river. Oh, Lord, send the river. He says, yeah, I'm trying to get you to go out there. I've told this story before. We were over at a church in New Britain a few years ago at a pastor's thing. It's a pretty powerful time. There's like 200 pastors there from around the state, and we were worshiping and the stuff. And then this pastor from another city started prophesying. And he's prophesying about, this guy's a powerful prophet. He starts prophesying about the river. You were there, I think. You were there for that, right? He starts prophesying about the river. He says, oh, this says the Lord. The river is coming. There's a river of God coming. And this river is going to carve its own path, says the Lord. He's going on and on and on about the river, right? And he stops, church. This is the first time I've gone to this pastor's meeting, right? So I'm like, there's no way I'm saying nothing. These people don't even know who I am, right? I was like, hey, I'm like the rookie, man. You know, don't put me in, coach. You know what I'm saying? So anyway. anyway, this guy starts, he gets all done. Literally, he stops prophesying, and the Holy Spirit keeps talking to me. And literally, if I had to be there again, I would have just kept right on going right when he stopped. Because the Holy Spirit, literally, the second this guy stopped, the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, son, there is a river coming, and the river is you. It's not some river out there somewhere, something that's going to come out of the sky, something that's just going to manifest out of thin air someday. He says, the river is you. Out of your innermost being flow rivers of living water. And he says, so when your river gets together with her river and her river and her river, he says, son, the Mississippi is not the mighty Mississippi way up north. It's a little stream, and all these streams keep feeding into it. And by the time we see it down in New Orleans, it's this massive, powerful river that changes landscapes. We've got to stop asking God to send something from heaven and start asking him, how do I release the heaven that's in me? Church, there's heaven in you. Can I get amen? You know what? It's funny, because I loved your testimony this morning, because you're laughing about folks stealing your money. The Lord's been on me this week, and he says, son, you know, we quote the scripture about the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Right, we know that one, right? And he says, you know what? This is what he said to me straight up. He says, you know what? You think that the devil wants your money, or the devil wants your health, or the devil wants your kids, or the devil wants... He says, the devil don't want none of that stuff. He wants your faith. He wants your worship. Right, church? The story of Job, what's the devil trying to steal from God? Job's worship. Right? All worship ain't singing a song. Worship means to bow down to. So when my kids start going off the rails, I'm not prophesying it in Jesus' name, but when my kids start having problems, or I have financial issues, or I have a sickness comes on my body, you know, we start thinking, we start worshiping that issue. We start bowing down to it. We start saying, oh no, what's going on? Instead of going, you know what? This thing ain't going to stop me. This ain't going to stop me. You know what I'm saying? Look it, I raised my kids right. So the Bible says that if I raise my kids properly, that when they get old, they will not depart from the ways of God. But I told one lady years ago in our church, she was upset. Her kids were off the rails doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I said, girl, your kids just ain't old yet. They're in the brain dead phase. Can I get amen, church? Anybody's got old enough kids, right? Hits about 13, 14, 15, and you get just the brain shuts off for like 10 years. There's a few of you in here in that age group. I'm looking at you, right? 25, especially if we raised our kids right, they hit about 25 and they start waking up and going, whoa, where'd the last 10 years going? What's going on? I gotta pay my own bills now? Yeah, praise God. Isn't it great? Can I get amen, church? Right? I think we hit the same thing as we're growing in the spirit. We get brain dead for a little while in the middle somewhere, right? We catch a couple of revelations and we go, okay, Lord, I got this one from now. And he's like, okay, good luck. I'll see you in 10 years. Yeah? Is this all right? Yeah? I want to drive this one home here in just a few moments. So, I'm in no way suggesting that God cannot radically change a culture, an environment, a situation or circumstance. Amen? I mean, you don't got a little, you watch the news a little bit. Politically, this country is a disaster. Man. Oh my goodness. Watch these debates and you're like, what planet are these people from? Come on, man. Either one of them. It don't matter which side you're watching. You're like, what on earth, right? I'm not suggesting for one moment, church, that God cannot just come in and just blow that thing up in the best way. You know what I'm saying, right? Like just pow, these people have whoa, what are we doing, right? Can I get amen? But what I'm saying to you is I think that what God is saying to our church, to us right here, is that we need to position ourselves because God says, I want to release revival through you. Through you. Everybody say, through me. I love Pastor Steve Furtick. This is years ago when he first really started getting big. I love this one, this video I was watching. They were worshiping. He's up there and he's shouting, you know, and he says, "We're not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God." I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Dude, could you imagine, church, if you got up every morning after a cup of coffee or maybe two, right? Get some of the boogers out of your eyes. Just look in the mirror and say, "I'm a move of God." Right? Is that good? The key to seeing this outpouring, I'm convinced of it, is that we need hope again. Right? The lacking of hope, according to Ezekiel, is what makes the church dead. Right? See, we think if there's no miracles in the church, it's dead. Right, that's what I thought. I thought that until this morning at 4:30 when the Lord told me to preach this. Right? Honestly, I'm just being straight. If I go into church and the music's not real good, I think it's kind of dead. Because I like good music. That's so wrong. Man, that's wrong. I had lunch with a new friend of mine. He's pastors in Connecticut. A new friend of mine last week or 2 weeks ago. And I won't even say the name of the ministry that he mentioned because he wasn't trying to be critical. But we were talking about the church. We're talking about some of this stuff. And he says, "You know what, bro? This guy's maybe 50 years old." He says, "You know what, bro? The church in China is doing just fine without the American worship." Yeah. I was like, whoa, zing, you know, dude. And he says, "Look, I love it, man. I love drums and guitars. I love it. Like, it's great." And he says, "I understand that it's our culture and cool, right? But to think that we need this stuff, right, to worship God, what a lie." Right? Like, to me, if we've got it, let's use it. Praise God, right? Cool. But you know what happens if one day we're halfway through our worship set and the fuse blows and the whole thing goes? We were watching this video the other day. David DeMarco sent me this video, and there it's a church service, and this guy's going to town on the keyboard. He's worshiping God. And then the keyboard falls off the stand. Boom! And everybody's like, like the thing just dies, boom, like dies, except the drummer. The drummer's back there going, boom, 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 boom. Like everybody else stops dead, you know. But church, can you think about that? Imagine like, what? Oh no, it messed up the worship. No, it messed up the singing of that song. It didn't mess up the worship. Come on, man. And if it did mess up the worship, man, we are farther off the rails than we think we are. Yeah. I remember when I first started leading worship, man, I'm almost done. I first started leading worship. Most of you weren't even at this church yet. I first started leading worship. We'd start singing a song, and I couldn't figure out what the first note was. I'd be playing the chord, and I'd go, that's not it. We had a girl on the team at the time. There's one song we sing. I'd point to her, literally. I tried like three notes. Nope. I'd point to her, "Can you just start it for me? Just get it going." There was one time we got like 5 minutes into a song, not even 5 minutes, like 30 seconds in, and the drummer was off. It wasn't him. He's awesome. The drummer was off. It was a mess, and I just literally just went, "Okay, just stop. Stop. We're going to start over because this is, dude, no. One time there was a guy leading worship in our church here, and I was playing guitar over here, but he was leading, and we were doing this song in a particular key, right? So like, you know, like G, A, B, C, whatever. So on a guitar, if you don't know anything about a guitar, if you guys watch me on a guitar, sometimes I put this thing that clamps on the neck. You can slide it on the neck called a capo. So that's people use that because they're not good at guitar. That's why we use those, right? So that means I can play the same chords and just move the capo up and down and it sounds different. And I only know about 6 chords, really. But so this one song, he's going to start this song and I was supposed to put the capo on somewhere on the neck, you know, to make it sound different. Are y'all tracking with me? Do I need to demonstrate this? All right. So I was supposed to put the capo on, but the song started with me on the guitar, and it was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I'm going to town on this thing, man. I'm like, I'm waiting for the band to come in, and the whole rest of the band comes in, and I, for like 2 seconds, I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, this sounds terrible. And then I look at this guy leading worship, and he's got this look at me like, I'm going to kill you, man. I was wrong, right? But you know what? You know what we did? He just kept going, and I played like half the song in the wrong key because I thought the whole band was wrong and I was right. Yeah. It was like halfway through, I was like, oh, I forgot to put my capo on. Praise God. Here we go. Oh, that sounds better. You know? Can I get him in? We need to have a little fun in church, man. Back to Paul. That was a huge rabbit trail, man. Now may the God of hope, look at what he calls God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, right? So there's the only requirement we've got. I got to believe, right? That's it, right? I've got to believe him. I believe you, Lord, right? So that, here's the reason why we're filled with joy and peace, so that you will abound in hope, or some translations say overflow with hope by the power of the Greek word, church, dunamis, dynamite power, right? We think that dunamis power of the Holy Ghost is to lay hands on folks with cancer and they get healed. That's certainly what he's there for to do as well. But the power that we need to start operating in to position ourselves under this fountain of God is the inward dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Where this, the power of God inside me is shifting the way I think, shifting the way I respond to things, shifting the way I react to things, shifting. He's dealing with my depression. He's dealing with my anxiety. He's dealing with my anger. He's dealing with jealousy. He's dealing with envy. He's dealing with all these things that are grievous in the sight of God. Amen. Look at this. The word hope here, church, I preach this a lot. I'm preaching it again right here. I'm done right here. Praise God. 20 minutes, 25, 35. This is not what Paul says here. Paul's talking about hope, right? But see, in hope, we think this is what hope is, right? Paul, like hope, we're going, okay, I hope I get a puppy for Christmas time, or I hope the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year, or I hope that they do another season of my favorite TV show because I really like it. Right? It's this flaky hope, right? It's like this, it isn't real. There's no substance to it, right? It's like we hope and it's like 50% hope and it's 50% doubt, or maybe worse than that, right? Well, there's nothing real there. It's just this like shooting from the hip. I hope I hit something, whatever, right? I hope my car makes it home, even though it's the needle's below E, right? Like, just stop and get some gas, bro. For real. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? It's these vain hope. There's nothing there. This is not the word that Paul uses here in the Greek church. The word that Paul uses here in the Greek, you know what the word hope means? It's translated hope. It means this, to anticipate or expect something. Yeah? To anticipate or expect something. And you know what? I thought I knew what anticipation meant, but I looked it up. And now I can't find it in my notes. Praise the Lord. Anticipation. Here's basically what it means. I'll probably find it as soon as I say it wrong. Anticipation means to see something beforehand. Oh, dude, look at this. It's literally highlighted in the middle of the page. Praise God. The Greek word here means to anticipate or to expect. And here's anticipate means this, to realize beforehand. To foretaste or foresee something. Right? So when I say I hope the Patriots win the Super Bowl, that's something that I don't see in the future that I hope works out. Because Tom Brady would definitely be the GOAT then, bro. Right? All the haters would have to just shut up about Tommy, touchdown Tommy. Right? But see, the word hope that Paul uses is not talking about something that I can't see that I hope manifests at some point. Paul's saying that the word hope is, I see this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? They all died in faith without receiving their promises, but welcomed them from a distance. They lived today as if what they saw is already happening, because it already was happening. They just didn't see it yet. Do you see what I'm saying, church? To anticipate something means I have beforehand, I've realized what God is going to do. God said this to me. God showed this to me. And I'm living it as though it's real right now. I'm experiencing what God has told me is going to happen. It's going to happen. I see it. I receive it. I'm walking in it. I have hope. I have confidence. I know that God is going to do this. I know that God is going to provide for me. I know that God's going to protect me. I know he's going to heal me. I know he's going to take care of my kids. I know he's going to take care of my ministry. I know he's going to take care of this. I know he's going to do this. I know it. Right? So no matter what comes at me that tries to get me to shake off that position of confidence in the Lord, I look at that thing in the face and say, my hope is established in the God of hope. You ain't going to shake it. Yeah? See, this is the promise that God gave through the prophet Ezekiel. The solution to the powerlessness of the church is hope. Man, you know what? Honestly, church, we should be so full of hope, it's annoying to people that don't like hopeful people. You ever been around people when you're not doing right with the Lord and you're just cranky? And they just say, well, just praise the Lord, brother. And you're like, I want to smack you right now, man. Right? Come on, man. I'm telling you what, church. We honestly, man, if we're really filled with the Holy Ghost, we should be so, it says we should have more hope than we need. Right? If I've got an abounding checking account, that means I got too much money. I'll receive that problem right now. Anybody else want to receive that? If I'm abounding in something, it means I've got more than I'm ever going to use. Can I get amen? Do you see what I'm saying, church? Because hope, I'm done right here. Hope, this hope is what fuels us to look to the heavens and say, God, I know you're coming. Right? It's that hope is what can fill us and say, man, I'm going through it right now, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going through it. I ain't camping out here. I'm not stopping here. I'm going through this valley, and I'm going to come through it the other side. I'm going to be stronger when I get through it. I'm going to learn something while I'm here, and I'm going to be a better Christian, pastor, father, brother, friend than I was before I went into this thing. Yeah, man. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray with you guys, and I want to do this real quick. I want you to gather with 2-3 folks like in your row or whatever. Just, I want to pray over you, but I want you to lay hands on one another and just, I'll read this slow. I just typed this prayer up. I think it's a good one. And I want us to just pray it together. Amen. Over one another. Yeah. Y'all ready? You can shut that off. Yeah. Amen. Why don't we take just a moment, church? If you have a prayer language, you pray in the Spirit, just pray in spirit with one another just for a minute or two. We won't drag this out too much. Amen. Father, forgive us for hoping in the wrong things. Placing our hope in things that are unstable. Things that can change at any moment. Placing our hope in things that can betray us. Forgive us for placing our hope in things that are temporal and empty. Forgive us, Lord, for hoping in our kids. As if they're supposed to supply something to us. Forgive us for hoping in any of those kinds of relationships. And relationships are important, they're powerful, but I need to understand what that relationship really is. I'm not supposed to hope, put my hope in another man, because I will be disappointed. But Father, we turn our eyes and our hearts to you. You are the one who satisfies our soul. We come as your children, longing to be renewed in your spirit. Longing, Father, to understand who you are and who we are. From this moment forward, Father, we surrender brand new to you. We ask that you tune our ears to your voice and your voice only. We know that you're with us. And we know that you're about to reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Father, I pray for this body, oh God, that let us start walking that hope again. Let us experience revival. Because that's what you did. You breathed life into something that was dead. You revived it. But the revival we need is not just blood pumping through our bodies, Lord. It's the revival of hope. Hope in our hearts. Hope that abounds in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.